Tonight, scattered rain showers likely, lows around 35. Chance for isolated rain showers again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 42, overcast skies. A dusting of snow Thursday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second half hour of hour number one here of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us right now is Catherine Henry. She is an attorney, senior legal counsel to Great Lakes Justice Center. She also has her own private practice. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Wanted to have you on the show this morning to talk about an email that you sent out to the elected officials in Lansing who are reconvening today, going into session in both the House and the Senate to consider a resolution to extend Governor Whitmer's emergency powers. You sent it to the Speaker, Lee Chatfield, the Senate Majority Leader, Mike Shirkey, and numerous other elected officials. Wanted to have you on the show this morning to talk about it and to ask you some basic questions. Why did you take your time to write this email to them?
Well, we have a lot at stake today. Of course, they're going to be meeting and convening, I believe, in just a short time here. And what they plan to do, from my understanding, is to meet and do a voice vote as to whether or not they're going to approve of the requested 70-day extension by Governor Whitmer. The email that I wrote was trying to convey a few key points. Number one, first of all, it needs to be a roll call vote. We need to have a record of who is voting and not just have this be a mere voice vote. There's definite accountability needed in a situation as serious as this. Also, we need to not extend the state of emergency at all, not the 23 days, not 70 days. So essentially what I was asking them to do is to consider that under a state of emergency, let me back up and say I'm not arguing that there is no cause for concern or that the whole pandemic is over with and we could just all go back to life as normal. No, I know that there's some serious concerns still happening, but the way that our government is handling it right now, the way that the state of Michigan is choosing to deal with this is not the most appropriate manner. And it certainly is not constitutional. Basically, by giving the governor an extension of the state of emergency, it essentially gives her broad police powers that would really shock and surprise 99% of people who would go to the statutes and read exactly what it is that she's entitled to do, let alone for those who have actually read the executive orders to see exactly what is in there and how our rights are being infringed. So those are the things that I'm asking in general for the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader and all the others convening today to consider before they choose to extend the executive order of the state of emergency.
Now, one of the points you make in your email to them was nowhere in the United States Constitution or the Michigan Constitution as amended in 1963 does it allow for our rights to basically be given up, the right to assemble, the right to worship, religious freedom, petition our government, redress our grievances, basically all the components of the First Amendment. But this has been my problem from this get-go situation where she justified it using this Governor's Emergency Act of 1945 and others that I'm going, okay, I know what it says, but is it really applicable right now based on a pandemic?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that because in general, a pandemic, if you look at the language of the statute and the most specific we can look at is actually the Emergency Management Act, the one of 1976. That's where the definitions are given. Mm-hmm. So Michigan Codified Law 30.402, subdivisions E and subdivisions H describe what a disaster is and what an emergency is. And so throughout that Emergency Act, they're talking about that a governor can declare a state of emergency or a state of disaster. So the original law that you were talking about from 1945 is MCL 10.31 through 10.33. And that basically covers, it's much less specific. It's obviously far older than the Emergency Management Act. The Emergency Management Act goes into much more detail about what each of those components mean and what the time frames are. So the original declaration was for a state of emergency, which if you read the language, like I said, 30.402H describes what an emergency is. And mm-hmm. it's a far broader definition than what the definition of a disaster is under the same statute, but subdivision E. So disaster actually contains the portion of epidemic, among many other things that could qualify as a disaster, whereas emergency has a much broader definition. The way our laws are interpreted is if there are two statutes or two provisions of statutes that are at play in a situation, you always have to look to the more specific portion of the law, and that is the one that controls. So this should have been deemed a state of disaster from the beginning, not a state of emergency. Not that that has a whole lot of change in what's happening today or what we could do going forward, except for the fact that Governor Whitmer is trying to muddy the waters and say that there's an additional 28 days that has just started from Executive Order 2020-33 because she amended the prior order calling for the state of emergency and said that it's now a state of emergency and a state of disaster. So by doing so, the Democrats are arguing, well, she had the original 28 days, but now she gets another 28 days to add on top of it.
Where she basically in the latest executive order simply rescinds the previous order and then acts like this is a brand new order, therefore giving her a new 28 days?
That's exactly what is attempted there. The interesting thing is if you look at the language of the order 2020-33 where she attempts to do this, mm-hmm. she uses selective quotation marks. So in other words, she's actually quoting MCL 30.403, subdivisions 3 and 4, which talks about her power to declare a state of emergency. She selectively stops the quotations before the words or, and then restarts the quotation. So in her executive order, it reads that the governor shall, by executive order or proclamation, declare a state of emergency and or a state of disaster upon a finding that an emergency and or disaster has occurred or is threatening to occur. The funny thing is, though, not a single statute that we have has and or relating to this situation. Every single statute, specifically those in the Emergency Management Act of 1976, talk about a state of emergency or a state of disaster. That's Section 30.403, that's Section 30.405, 30.402 in the definitions, like I mentioned, clearly define two separate situations.
Right.
And it would fall under one or the other, not both. Even if we're going to say that it's falling under both, it certainly doesn't call for anywhere in the statute that you can call both of them for the same issue, such as COVID-19, and then allow that to mean that you have double the time frames involved. That's clearly not what the legislature intended at all.
Now, let me ask you this question. You laid this all out very well in your email that you sent to, again, Speaker of the House Lee Chatfield, Senate Majority Leader Shirky, other elected officials. And again, we're talking with Catherine Henry. She's an attorney, senior legal counsel to Great Lakes Justice Center, plus her own practice. When you laid this out, did any of the representatives or senators reply back to you, acknowledge that they even got it, acknowledge that they read it, have a question for you? Did any of them even respond to you?
Well, what I will say is that I sent the email that you were quoting from earlier. That was sent last night at 5:11 p.m. to various elected officials that we have, but specifically the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader. So I had not received a specific response from any of the legislators on that particular email. However, I raised related issues in an email on Wednesday, April 1st, regarding this very thing. Before I knew any specifics, I addressed it in some more general forms, and that was not sent to the same number of legislators that was sent to, though, the Speaker of the House, Lee Chatfield, Representative Steve Johnson from a neighboring district, my own Representative Luke Meerman. And I can tell you that Representative Johnson's office was very quick to reach out to me and let me know that they had heard my concerns and shared a lot of my concerns. Representative Luke Meerman did reach out to me directly. We had quite a pleasant conversation trying to figure out ways to solve this problem without making the solution worse than the original problem.
Right.
So in that sense, yes, some have reached back out to me, but not from the email that was sent at just 5:11 p.m. last night.
Okay. Now, we've got people down there protesting today. I'm going to have a guest on in the second half of hour number two at 10:30. I'm going to get a live field report from Wendy Darling and Alex Larner. They're down there protesting. What needs to happen today at bare minimum? We've got about a couple minutes left here. What would you like to see happen if they hear us, they hear our voices, they see the protesters, they read your email? What do you think the best possible outcome is that we can accomplish today?
First of all, unlike what the governor, what the Democrats and the governor are calling for, I would urge the legislature that they do need to meet today. In fact, her own executive order, the stay-at-home order, specifically talks about in Section 11 that it applies in no way, shape, or form to the essential functions and constitutional duties that the legislature and the judicial branches have. So they do need to convene. Second of all, when they convene, they do need to take a roll call vote so that there is a record of which legislators are voting for and against the measure. Third of all, I urge them to not extend the state of emergency at all. First of all, we have the state of emergency. That's the main thing at issue. But then you have the other issues that stem from that. So, for example, all the executive orders that talk about staying at home or closing schools or all those other things, those rely upon either the original executive order for the state of emergency, which is 2020-4, or the new one, which is 2020-33. So without that a state of emergency being extended, those other orders fall by the wayside because that broad police power is no longer there. That ends at 28 days, according to the statute.
We're gonna ask you to stay over. I got a couple of text messages, questions for you. Again, we're talking with Catherine Henry. You able to stay through the short break?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. We're going to get to your text messages, your comments. She's an attorney talking about what's going on in Lansing today. I'm Trucker Randy. We'll be right back.
Would you like to lose weight, lower your blood pressure and cholesterol, all while reducing the prescription medications you're taking? Would you like to increase your energy, tone, shape, and strengthen your muscles, reduce blood sugar, and increase your self-esteem? Then 8 weeks to wellness is right for you. Hi, my name is Dr. Kyle Dunham at Breath of Life Chiropractic Wellness Center in Petoskey, and you can join me every Tuesday morning at 9:15 on the Trucker Randy Show so you can learn more about this revolutionary program. 8 weeks to wellness is a comprehensive program that starts with a complete health and wellness assessment, in-depth blood workup, body composition analysis, and wellness education. That all gives us your wellness score. We then tailor a program to fit your needs and goals that includes personalized diet plan and nutritional coaching, chiropractic adjustments, personal fitness training, massage therapy, and stress management instruction. And best of all, it's in one convenient location. If you're interested, listen to the show or call 231-622-8828. Again, 231-622-8828 or go to breathoflifechiropractic.net, breathoflifechiropractic.net.
Mike Hewitt here. The economy is truly a state of mind. When we have confidence, we drive the markets up. And when we have fear or reservation, we let them fall. Democrats have absolutely zero chance of taking the presidency or keeping the House in such a roaring economy. They banked on perpetual investigation and impeachment with their media as a devoted but failed ally. And now, coronavirus. They seek to tie any loss of life to Trump. They peddle fear and anxiety, hoping against hope, to drive the economy down, to drive us down. If they can make your family suffer, They're hoping you'll vote for them. I guess they see the financial pain they gin up as collateral damage, the price we pay for their victory. Let's not make light of the coronavirus, but rather push away those that seek to use it for political gain. That's my two cents. Visit themikehewittshow.com or find us on Facebook and tell us what you think.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Whether it's the smell of a toasting Village Hearth blueberry bagel or cooking hot dogs over a campfire, kids of all ages want simple, comforting food that reminds them of mom's home cooking. Village Hearth was born from that nostalgia and commitment to simplicity. Baked locally and delivered fresh daily, you'll find a wide variety of buns, breads, bagels, and English muffins at a grocery store near you. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the final segment, hour number one of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck Arandy on the Patriot Voice Radio Network, 97.7 FM, WCHY out of Sheboygan. Also, you need to switch over to the radio station's website this morning. We're having some problems with our show's website, yourdefendingfathers.com. So go to www.wchy.us. The call letters, wchy.us. And also on the TuneIn app, download the TuneIn app. One word, capital T, capital I. Download the app, open it, and then search for WYPV. We're your Patriot Voice. We do Michigan News, Michigan Politics, 9 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. And then it does the show, repeats every 3 hours on the network. We're joined right now by an attorney, Catherine Henry. She sent an email, two of them actually, April 1st and again last night, to the leadership of the Republicans in Lansing, Speaker, House Speaker Lee Chatfield, Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, as well as other elected officials. They're in the process. I just got a news alert from MERS News Service. They plan to go into session at 10 o'clock this morning. We have protesters down there that are going to be giving us a live field report at 10:30 as to what's going on down there. But joining us right now, Catherine Henry, as you were talking as to what you thought would be a good possible outcome from today, I got a text message said, how do we support Catherine? If there's a website or a Facebook page, where do we go to basically contact her or be able to support her, being able to, you know, answer questions? How would folks best get a hold of you, Catherine?
I do have a website for my firm. It is K Henry, the number 4, and the letters MI for Michigan.com. People are more than welcome to email me, which is khenry4mi@gmail.com. You can search for me in Hudsonville, Michigan, and all of my information shows up on my Google business listing. And I guess a variety of, I have a Facebook page, Catherine Henry for Michigan. I'm on LinkedIn and a lot of other social media. So you could pretty much reach me about any way that you'd want to.
Okay, very good. One of the things I think that we're looking at here, and we're going to get a live field report at 10:30, is I don't think they expected to get this type of response from us, we the people. Emails like what you sent last week, Thursday and Friday, and then again Monday, yesterday, I was telling people to call the Speaker's office, Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey. We blew up their phones. Their voicemail boxes were full. Do you think they expected this type of response from us, we the people?
At this point, no, I don't think they did, because we've basically just been sitting back and allowing it all to happen. What we have been forgetting, what everyone seems to have been forgetting, is not that this is not serious. That is not what we're saying at all. What mm-hmm. we're saying is that we need to remember things like what Michigan Constitution Article 1, Section 1 says. All political power is inherent in the people. The people need to be engaged. The people need to be informed, not running their lives with fear, but facts and information. Citizens are being told that if they leave their homes at all, or if they've bought what is being deemed as a non-essential item, they will not only be given criminal misdemeanor charges, they'll be given civil infractions and possible licensing consequences through WARA. This was explained in an emergency order, not executive order, but an emergency order that was put out by the MDHHS director on April 2nd.
Right.
Things are getting crazy, and people that don't see it happening right now need to wake up and realize that it is happening all across our state, not in every single community, but if we allow it to continue, it will expand. We need to also remember that Congress shall make no law in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law that abridges our freedoms. And the 14th Amendment lets the states know that this applies to them too, and says that no state shall make any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States. So state government simply cannot make or enforce laws, executive orders, etc., which impair our constitutional rights. There is simply no exception for times of disease or pandemic. Basically, the bottom line is that none of our constitutional rights can just be modified, diminished, abrogated, or changed in any way by an executive order of the governor, an emergency order of the director of MDHHS, an act of legislature, etc. Law enforcement officers do not have the right to stop individuals without probable cause, because that right is guaranteed to us in both the Michigan and U.S. constitutions. And like you mentioned earlier, we do have the right to peaceably assemble, to consult for the common good, to instruct our representatives, to petition our government for a redress of grievances, to practice our religious freedoms. All of these are guaranteed in the Michigan and U.S. constitutions. So while everyone is trying to do what they think is best to combat COVID-19, infringing upon our fundamental rights is simply not an option, and it must be stopped immediately.
Well, you've got a lot of good information there. The email was fantastic. Again, give out your website slowly. I got two people asked for it again.
Absolutely. It is the letter K for Catherine, and then Henry, H-E-N-R-Y, the number 4, and the letters M-I for Michigan, .com. So K Henry4MI.com, or you can reach me at khenry4mi@gmail.com.
Very good. We appreciate the letter. We appreciate everything you're doing, and glad to meet you and have you on the show, and we'll stay in touch as we go forward with this situation and see basically what happens, and we'll keep in touch.
Yes, thank you.
Have a great day, Catherine.
You too.
I'm Trucker Randy. We're going to take a break. Top of the news, then Patrick Kolbeck. We'll be right back.
This is Cassie. Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers.
Wildwood Firearms Training and Range is a training facility that offers many services that is friendly to shooters at every level. With a staff that is made up of 4 female shooters, we are known for catering to the woman who has an interest in shooting sports and self-defense. We offer all sorts of classes, from free firearm safety for children through advanced pistol training, including CPL classes. We buy, sell, and trade guns and have a full retail store. We also offer gunsmithing and appraisal services. And we have an indoor range that is available to the public. At Wildwood Firearms Training and Range, we offer a try before you buy on several of our guns. So call us today at 231-412-6501. We are located by the Harbor Springs Airport. So call us today at 231-412-6501.
If you're nearing 65, you're probably being bombarded by insurance companies by mail and phone, trying to sell you this product or that. Laura Bogdan has personally looked after the needs of seniors, taking the time to explain how Medicare works and other benefits you may not even be aware of. Laura is ready to help you today.
I'm Laura Bogdan. Call me today, 231-264-6890, 231-264-6890.
97.7 FM, WCHY, Sheboygan.
Your current time is 10 o'clock.